Drew Edwards joins us from the Hamilton Spectator. Drew, how you doing?
Not too bad, boys. How you doing?
Excellent. Drew, last year Hamilton led the league in sacks with 65. They give up 10. I know, you know, they got younger on the offensive line. I know there were some obvious missed assignments, but is it scheme? What's gone, you know, what's the issue in Hamilton? Or are they that concerned because last year they made it to the Grey Cup despite giving up 65 sacks?
Well, anytime you give up 10 sacks, I don't think you can say it's one thing alone. I think you have to look at a bunch of different factors, right? So, you know, the offensive line missed a bunch of assignments that led to some sacks. I think Kolaros got happy feet after a while, pulled the ball down a little early on a couple of occasions. I think they had some trouble getting guys open down the field on a couple of occasions. And they were also dealing with torrential downpour and a very significant wind. So I think that those factors conspired to, you know, lead to 10 sacks. So what's the solution? Well, they'll change the personnel on the offensive line. They may do a little bit more schematically to help Kolaros get more protection or slide him around a little bit in the pocket to give him more time. And the receiver's just going to win some one-on-one battles down the field. And the offensive line has to be better. I mean, that's the reality. I mean, the Tigers got beaten on both sides of the football in the trenches. You can't lose both line battles and expect to win the game.
Is it difficult for a young quarterback to hang in there that extra second to get that ball out of his hands?
I think it's harder to do once you start to feel that the pressure is constant. And I think that's what happened with Calero. So I think he was fine early, but, you know, after three or four sacks, you start to see ghosts, right? You see them everywhere. So even in situations where, you know, the tight end tackles were doing a good job pushing the defensive ends up the field, Kolaros was still feeling that pressure and stepping up, perhaps even when he didn't have to. So, you know, once you feel unsettled, then it becomes more difficult, especially for a young quarterback.
Drew, the inexperience of an offensive line, like, I know that, you know, obviously injuries and stuff played a part in the decisions for them to get rid of, you know, Hag and Dykowski, two veteran older guys. But how much of a concern is that when you go that much younger on your offensive line, do you think, for the Tiger Cats?
Well, look, youth wasn't the issue last week, right? Okay. I mean, Dykowski's got a torn patella. He'll be hopefully back at some point. But, you know, they started Tim O'Neill, you know, Greg White, Steve Milton, all guys that have got CFL experience. Brian Simmons, one of the tackles, has been in the league three or four seasons now, and Joel Figueroa is in his second year. So it wasn't, you know, youth and inexperience that was the problem last week anyway, right? It was, there were other issues, but this isn't a completely inexperienced offensive line by any stretch of the imagination.
Let's go to the quarterback, Kolaros. You know, a very different offense in Hamilton than the one they ran in Toronto. What has he said to you about learning this offense? How patient do you think the Tiger Cats are going to be with him, you know, for him to really get a handle of it? How long do you think it's going to take?
Well, you know, it is a difficult offense for a quarterback, I think, because there are some options for the wide receivers to change their routes based on what they're seeing in coverage. And so the wide receiver and the quarterback have to see the same thing down the field and make the same adjustments. And so that takes some time, no question. And, you know, Kolaros has got, you know, now 9 career CFL starts. And, you know, it does take some time to learn any offense, and especially when you're coming in without a lot of experience in the CFL game, period. So, you know, I think the Ticats knew that there was going to be an adjustment period. I think they'll be patient with him up until a point, you know, as long as they see progress. That's the big thing with Coach Kent Dawson. He wants to see development week over week. And I think the only time Kolaros will be vulnerable is if they don't think that he's making any progress in terms of picking up the offense.
Did Kent Dawson talk this week at all about getting the ball into the hands of C.J. Gable more this year or this night?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that, you know, they were down early, right, which doesn't help. But, I mean, Gable had 3 touches for 8 yards. And in games that the Ticats won last season, Gable touched the ball either, you know, running or receiving, you know, almost 13 times a game. So they have to get him the ball more to be successful. But, you know, when you're behind 12 points after about, you know, 6 or 7 minutes, it does start to limit your options. So, you know, I think they need to get Gable more involved, and I think they'll try and do that. But again, they need to stay in the game in order to make that opportunity available to themselves.
Looking at their defense, how do you expect them to attack Mike Riley in this offense, who actually, Drew, I know it's shocking, but they're actually going to throw screen passes this year, something they didn't do all of last season.
Yeah, and look, I think this defense, there's some question marks on it as well, right? As much as the focus was on the 10 sacks and the Caleros issues, they gave up 160 yards on the ground last week against Saskatchewan. And so they're breaking a new Canadian middle linebacker in Frederick Plessis, and they've made a bunch of changes in the secondary as well. So they'll definitely need to be better. I think what concerns you most about the Eskimo offense, I think, is you're dealing with Fred Stampson and Darius Bowman, right? And if those two guys get going, it's going to be a long night. So, getting pressure on Riley, I mean, it's a bit of a cliche, but that's what they have to do. They've changed one of their starting defensive ends, Brandon Boudreaux, who, has been basically a starter for the last two seasons and led the team in sacks last year. They sat him down this week and brought in a guy named Brandon Thurman, who, is in his first CFL season and had a good camp and has, a relatively good track record in college at generating sacks. Getting pressure off the edge and collapse in the pocket without having to bring the kitchen sink to do it is going to be a priority for the Ticats this week, I think.
What about as far as you mentioned Darius Bowman? Is there any special attention bumping him off the line to slow him down and get him off his routes?
Well, they play Orlando Steinauer, the defensive coordinator, plays a mix of coverages, right? He doesn't he's not a guy like Chris Jones, who's known for, press man and let's play a lot of pressure and force receivers to get off the line of scrimmage. Steinauer mixes it up, with a mix of zone and man coverage. So there isn't necessarily, one scheme that they'll employ to try and keep those guys in check. The issue with Bowman in particular is that, he's a good size, right? You play press man against him, he can win some of those battles, right? And especially when you're dealing with, inexperienced defensive backs, which the Ticats have a couple of, when you make those gambles to the line of scrimmage, it does open up the possibility of giving up the long gain if you can't contain the guys at the line of scrimmage.
And, Drew, lastly, of course, they're in Edmonton, then they got the bye week, then they're in Calgary, and then finally Iverwin reopens on July 26th. Have you had a sneak peek? How's it looking?
Well, it's called Tim Hortons Field now. Let's make sure that we call it by the right name so the sponsors are happy. But, look, this is the other issue that's sort of facing the Ticats right now is the fact that there's no guarantee that thing's going to be ready for the 26th. Oof. And that's a problem, obviously, because they got two games in 5 days starting on the 26th of July. So, this is completely out of the Ticats' hands. Obviously, it's between the city and the province and the builder. But if they can't get it together for the 26th of July, they'll be looking at contingency plans, none of which are particularly good, to be completely honest with you. So that's another thing that is on the horizon for the Ticats. Start the season with three straight on the road and then hope your stadium is ready. It's not ideal by any measure.
Drew, we appreciate it. We'll see you down at Commonwealth tonight. Enjoy the heat.
Sounds good, boys. Thank you.